us turn for a time in the Word of God to the book of Exodus, where we've been preaching in the evening, Exodus chapter 8, verse 28 through 32. Exodus chapter 8, 28 through 32. I'll begin reading at verse 28. So Pharaoh said, I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only you shall not go out very far away. Intercede for me. Then Moses said, Indeed, I am going out from you, and I will entreat the Lord that the swarms of flies may depart tomorrow from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people. But let Pharaoh not deal deceitfully any more in not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord. So Moses went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses. He removed the swarms of flies from Pharaoh and from his servants and from his people. Not one remained. But Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also. Neither would he let the people go. Now we've been dealing with the book of Exodus. I've been preaching through it. We've been going chapter by chapter and verse by verse. Very often, though, as you go through a book, there's always other subjects that you could teach or focus upon in any given passage. And so we dealt with this passage last week, but we dealt more with the idolatry of Pharaoh and this great curse that the flies were. But embedded in that is an interesting study in the idea of language or speech. And so the title of this afternoon message is, What Do You Say? What do you say? Because we've got three different people talking here, and we can study, observe, and analyze each of what they have said, each conversation or each thrust of the people. Now the three people here are Pharaoh, Moses, and God, or Moses, Pharaoh, and God. As we look at this, we can see how much the speech of the world is manifested through this little passage. You know, people will say so many different things. When you challenge them, they seem to believe that everything that they say is totally altruistic. It's like from the depths of their heart, they've never had a selfish thought in their mind. They certainly are not trying to mislead you. They're telling it like it is, people will say today. And so we see that to study man as man or to analyze man as man, you understand that there is this speech or linguistic dimension to our lives and our personalities. In fact, to study man, you cannot almost get any deeper into man than by studying what he says. The whole sphere of psychology is based upon that. Philosophy, theology, all of these different areas of analysis. We see here in this passage, though, that the speech, even though this is amongst the highest people in the land, Pharaoh, the most important king of the world at that time, Moses, the most enlightened, the most anointed believer of the Lord God of the Bible is one of the players here, and then the Lord himself. And these three personages, if we can refer to God as a person in this sense, these three are all saying things. And as we look at what they say and how they say it, we see in a simple formula or a simple drama, we see how this is like the whole world writ large. We see Pharaoh, first of all. Pharaoh says in verse 28, I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Intercede for me. He's saying, I'll let the people go. We know the larger story here, the captivity and all of that, and the curses that have been coming down upon Pharaoh. When the curses were upon him, he would feel the weight of them, and then he'd say these words. But what did they mean? What did they mean? Well, he says, I'll let you go that you may sacrifice in the wilderness. And remember, this is the fourth plague, and he'd been challenged and disciplined greatly by the previous plagues. He's ready, he says, to let the people go, and he asks Moses to intercede for him. So this is a representation of the world. The world talks this way. Whenever the world is under some assault, I work as a hospital chaplain. I'll hear people say all kinds of things. I know, though, because of the Bible, I know that so much of what people tell me is not really true. It may be part of their intentions, their better intentions, but how deep does it go? How much strength do they have to fulfill what they say? Like George was saying today, they've got freedom, but what about the ability? They think they've got ability. And they make these statements, but what are the statements really worth? So here we have Pharaoh's statements. I'll let the people go. Only intercede for me. Secondly, we have Moses. And Moses talks to Pharaoh in verse 29. He says, "Indeed, I'm leaving or I'm going out now from you. I will entreat the Lord," he says. "Only," he says, "do," this is at the end of verse 29, "but let Pharaoh not deal deceitfully anymore." So Moses knows something of the psychology of Pharaoh. He understands how Pharaoh will say one thing and do another. He's seen it before. And yet, in the goodness of his heart, Moses is willing to trust Pharaoh to a certain degree again. And so he says that he will intercede for him. And it says in verse 30 that Moses, for his part, he went out. He did what he said that he was going to do. He entreated the Lord. And we see that the Lord blessed him through that entreaty. The Lord, it says in verse 31, the Lord did according to the word of Moses. He removed the swarm of flies from Pharaoh, from his servants and from his people. Not one remained. I thought somewhat humorously that at that point, Egypt was probably the most fly-free nation in the whole world, because God took away all the flies at one time. They had to import new flies from Libya, you know, places like that, after this happened. But you see, the Lord had said back in chapter 7, verse 3 and 4, if you remember, the Lord had, when he called Moses earlier on, in verse 3 it says, "And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and wonders in the land of Egypt." Verse 4, "But Pharaoh will not heed you, so that I may lay my hand on Egypt and bring my armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord." So even as God, in chapter 8, repents in a sense and takes away the swarms of flies, God, in His omnipotent knowledge, His omniscient wisdom, He knows that Pharaoh will not go forward with his word, and yet the Lord honors the word of Moses, the prayers of Moses, and he relents and he takes the flies away from Egypt. Now, you can say to yourself, well, the Lord had six more curses in line, you know, and somewhat humorously. But the wonder of it is that the Lord, in His omnipotence and in His purity and in His goodness, that He would indulge such a lying weasel like Pharaoh at all. But this is part of the greatness of the Lord. That the Lord, though He knows the corruption of Pharaoh's heart, yet the Lord will be sustained in a righteous direction. He will operate on the basis of Moses' good word to Pharaoh, despite the fact that they know that Pharaoh's heart is contaminated. And even if Pharaoh has some mistaken idea of his own sincerity, and that's what sometimes the people of the world, the alcoholic, who has no capacity to break out of his alcoholism. He will say, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And we know that it reaches far down into the race than that, because you and I, despite the levels of sanctification that we have, we all know that there's so much further that we could go. And so we ourselves make promises to God, sometimes under our breath, sometimes in our minds, in our prayer. Oh, I'll do this. Oh, I intend to do that. I know I've worked on this through weight loss over the years, you know, and I'll say, a day I feel great. I say, oh, I know I can do this. I know I can do that. And then 2 days later, I'm starving to death. And I've missed a meal. And I go buy a bag of crackers that's there, you know, somebody left or something like that. I go, like a vulture. Boom. And then I'll the words will come back into my mind a moment later after I've devoured the bag. You know, what did I do? What did I say? Well, in this story, we have an illustration of the steadiness and the goodness of the Lord. The Lord indulges us in so many ways. In this case, He indulges the wicked Pharaoh, but He indulges you and I too. And through the incarnation of the Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, we have words that are never twisted like ours. They're never twisted like Pharaoh's. They're more like Moses. Our Lord Jesus comes unto us and He says, come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I challenge any one of you to come to me, and in the sincerity of your heart to say that you have come to the Lord when you are weary and heavy laden, and that Jesus did not give you rest. I know that our Lord Jesus Christ is true, and His Spirit is true, and the Father is true. They are true. Let all men be liars, the Bible says, that we recognize the truth of the Word of God. All of the Lord's promises are good unto us. The Lord promised us that He would meet us in the Lord's Supper. If we don't get anything out of the Lord's Supper, it's not the Lord's fault. The Lord calls us to come to Him in faith. If we are insecure in our lives, it's not the fault of the promise of the gospel. It's not the fault of the Holy Spirit. It's not like the Holy Spirit did not do this or do that. It's our fault, out of our insincerity. All of the words of God are true. All of them are uplifting. The Bible says the Word of God makes us clean. It makes us feel clean and good. We read it, we hear it. It delights our hearts. It fills us up. It helps us to understand ourselves and the world. Because of its truthfulness, its integrity, there's nothing that is not straight with the Word of God. When we turn to mankind, we see what we see with Pharaoh. When we turn to the Lord, we see everything good and true and wonderful. And so as we go home today, let us remember the word, the Lord's promises unto us in the gospel and in the Lord's Supper. He does love us and He is committed unto us. Let us be committed unto Him. Let us love Him. Let us seek His grace. Let us benefit from that. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, bless us, we pray, by Thy Spirit. We thank Thee for this day of worship. We thank Thee for our friends who have come to visit with us. We thank Thee for the Gregories who even now are returning to Indiana. We pray their safety. But we thank Thee for Thy blessings. Thou hast said that if we would come unto Thee, even though we were weary and heavy laden, Thou wouldst give us rest. Thou hast promised in the Lord's Day that Thou wouldst refresh us. The Puritans called it the marketplace of the Lord. Let us come to this marketplace. Let us buy the wares that Thou hast to sell us, to give us in Christ. Let us benefit from them. Let us rejoice before Thy face. Fill us up, O Lord, with Thy Spirit and Thy goodness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.